I'm going to continue. This is part 15 of The Origin of Goodness, but I'm staying with that subject or the subtitle from Wednesday night for a good reason, because I have a good reason for sharing with you that subtitle for a good reason. Because as I was studying Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, there was so much coming out of that particular passage in relation to where we are today that I believe that God has impressed upon my heart to go back to that scripture and to begin to dig into it a little deeper so that we can get even a clear understanding of what he is saying to us as well as to this generation. But here in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And I believe God was challenging his people, as he is challenging the church today, to raise to a high level of reasoning. We talk about reasoning. There has to be a reason for everything that we say and do. There is a reason for us living in this generation. There is a reason that you were born. There is a reason behind all of the things that's happening around us. These things are not just coincidental, but the things that are happening, and it's in a rapid pace. Things are changing, but there's a reason behind it. And I'm not saying that reason is something that pleases God all the time. It could be some things happening that's not pleasing to God, but nevertheless, there's a reason behind it. But then he calls us to reasoning, to make sure that we are engaged in thinking about the things that's occurring. But first of all, think on him, making sure that our focus is upon him, because he is the author and the finisher of our faith, and our faith in Jesus Christ must be constant. We can't be in a place where we're fluctuating in relation to faith, but yet it is a matter of reasoning, thinking, because there's a lot without thinking. We move to the level of unreasonableness, where we do things that are foolish and things that do not make sense. And what happens, we just live our lives recklessly without thought. And in this day, the Lord is saying to us, as he said to the children of Israel, "Come now, let us reason together. Let us think together. Let us explore. Let us engage in thinking together." Now, we understand, we talk about reasoning. Let's reverse that, because there in our day, that's called independent reasoning or independent thought. It's very popular today, where people are at a place where their ideas, you see, it's my truth and your truth, and there's no absolutes. So independent reasoning, independent thought, and for the most part, void of counsel, or worse still, void of godly counsel, even though they might reason together. As I mentioned last week or last Wednesday, they may reason or they may seek the counsel of the ungodly, but at the same, and then there are some that seek no counsel at all. That's number two, the counsel of the ungodly, when that independent reasoning, and then those who seek the counsel of the ungodly. And then third, there is godly counsel. It's when we consider the Lord, acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways. We seek God's direction. We seek the path that he would have us to take in life. Now, we have to understand why is it important that God would invite us to reason together, because we have to understand the heart of fallen man, the effect of the fall. How did it affect us? And how are we yet being affected by the fall? You see, we're talking about the nature of man being in a fallen state. See, we have to understand the fall. How far did we fall? How degenerate is our minds independent of God as a result of the fall? Let me tell you how far we've fallen. Things that ordinarily wouldn't make sense if we had been in relationship become sensible to a sinner. You see, to a sinner, these things make sense. It is sensible, because the truth of the matter, the person, as a result of the fall, we are in an altered state of reasoning. And that's hard for many to embrace, the fact that humanity is in an altered state of reasoning. In other words, independent of God, our rationale is off track and off-centered. So now, the reason that it's true is because as we live our lives, we live contradictory lives. In fact, we look at life, look like all of life is full of contradictions. Everything about life, we believe this, and then something happens to expose that as not being true. So we live contradictory lives, and we wonder, how is there any such thing as reality? Is there anything such thing as truth? I'm headed somewhere in this. You got to stay with me. I'm laying all this as foundation. Is there anything to life? And as a result of contradictions, there are a lot of people that are hopeless. Suicide rates are off the chart. I mean, people are at a place where their life, they've reached this place of meaninglessness, and they feel as if their life has no purpose, therefore they have no hope. Why am I here, and why should I remain? So in our day and time, even we talk about adults, but even in school, young children are taking their own lives, taking something away from themselves that they can't give. You can't give life, so it's not wisdom to take life, to take your life, or even to take another person's life. So now, what do we look at as we begin to look at reasoning and all the things that's going on in our day and time? We refer or relate back to the scripture so that we can began to get a good footing on how we ought to stand and what we as a people of God ought to do. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you." Paul began to reference the word of God. He said, which I preached to you. He is saying, so in other words, you have to understand the significance of the messages that you've already heard. Not just the message you're hearing today, but the messages that were preached beforehand. They were preparation, they were preparatory for what you're facing here today. He said, the message or the gospel that I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand. Some people are still standing, but there are many that have fallen. But he says, but it is a gospel that was declared to you, the gospel that was preached to you, that you took in, you received it, and now you're standing on the word that you received, by which you are saved. Saved from what? Saved from all this confusion that's going on all around you, this whole thing of confusion. He said, but now he warns us of the fact that it's easy to get off track. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So you have to hold fast to it. You have to go back and reference what you've heard. hold fast to it, unless somewhere down the line the enemy will begin to cause what you have heard to slip away. You won't be able to reference what you had heard any longer, because the enemy would have snatched out of your life the very thing that would have stabilized you in these troubled times. Then we go to what he said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. He said, hold fast. You see, he's telling you, hold fast, hold fast. The pattern of sound words which you have heard from me. Hold fast to the pattern of sound words which you heard from me. He said, not only the word, you say, well, I don't have a word on this particular situation, but look at the pattern. Look at, you see, everything that we do, God is setting a pattern for us to follow. So that if it doesn't align with the pattern, we can reject it, even if we don't have an exact word to address the subject. You see, what is the pattern? Does it follow the same pattern? Does this, you see, in other words, it's the character of the word. It's not, you can see the character of an individual. It's not according to that particular person's character. You told me that person did a particular thing, and I said, no, that's not the character of the person you're speaking of. So now the pattern of sound words, he said, hold fast to that, to the pattern of sound words. He said, hold fast to it in faith and in love, which are in Christ Jesus. And then he says, because he gave both faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. And then he goes with the secret goodness. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Now, it's important to understand this, because I mentioned Wednesday, it's not just a matter of committing to the memory. It's not just a matter of committing to memory, because when the time comes, when that word is most significant, is during the times of testing. But what God will do, if you commit it to the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance that very word to which you have heard. You say, in other words, when you're hearing, even now, Lord, I commit this to the Spirit. I'm asking you, Lord, so that this word is in safekeeping, so that whatever I may face in life in the future, that you will give me automatic recall to bring to my remembrance that which was said at the time of the greatest chat, at the time of testing. So that's what we are doing. Because as we begin to look at this, I'm giving you several scriptures to help you understand how important it is to hold fast in these days. He says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 3, remember, that's reflecting, remember therefore how you have received and heard. Hold fast. And then when you find yourself slipping or drifting away from it, repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. That's why I said this is the last days. We're living in the latter times. We don't know when the Lord may return, but we best believe that the stage is being set for his return. And this is going to make sense as we continue on. The stage is being set for the return of the Lord. So you have to hold fast. And people that would, you probably wondered, what state of mind would you be in when the Lord returns? What would you be thinking about? What kind of activities would you be engaged in? Well, let me tell you something. You would be thinking the way you're thinking now. You'll be engaged in the activities that you're engaged in now. The things that you're doing right now will be the things that you will be doing when the Lord returns, unless you do what the Word says about holding fast to the pattern and making sure that you remember, commit to the Holy Spirit so that you can remember the things that you ought to remember. Because what happens, the mind of a fool, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Or the fool has said in his heart, no to godly counsel. The fool has rejected godly counsel. He has mentally and emotionally rejected spiritual reasoning that has come to him from God. He rejects it. He doesn't embrace it, but he rejects spiritual reasoning. He says that there has to be another way there has to be another a thought that's superior. That's what he's really thinking. There has to be a thought that's superior to godly wisdom and godly counsel, you see. And that's, was it ever the word of God? This is his thinking. Or was it never the word of God? You see, what you're hearing, either it is the word of God, it doesn't change, the word doesn't change. Either it is the word of God, so when it's rejected and it's treated, the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. If it's rejected and treated as if it wasn't the word of God, in your mind you're saying it never was the word of God. So let me put it plain, let me put it very plain to you. Here's what happens when a person rejects what he or she might have received. That's why I said hold fast to it. It is saying that the person that delivered the word to me lied to me. That's what's really, you didn't say it. The fool has said in his heart. You said, Pastor, you lied to me. He said, all these preachers that told me that God was this and that and the other, he was all that, lied to me. And I found the truth now. I found a way that is superior to all that stuff, all that garbage that was told to me in the churches that I was once a part of. That's really what's being said in the heart now. You don't have to verbalize that. You have to vocalize that. But your behavior is speaking louder than your words. Because here, then it could be possible that what you heard embrace is all contradictions, is all lies. It lacks relevance. It lacks relevance to the situations that I'm facing today. It is archaic. You might say, well, it's outlived its time. It's archaic. But it came from the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days. It came from the eternal. So, in that mind, they think more knowledge can be found in Google or Wikipedia, somebody, so all these other sources that are available. So they said, now we've found it. Now we've discovered it. See, we heard what you were saying, but I referenced that. I went to Google, I went to Wikipedia, and I found that there were some things that were much truer. They were truer than the things that you were saying. You see, and now when the word goes forth to those who think they know, they find the word to be offensive. I'm offended that you would think I would be so foolish as to believe that stuff you're talking about. You see, I'm woke now. I'm awakened to the reality of truth. So I'm so far beyond that I don't need that any longer. I'm speaking now to this generation. This is how many in our generation are thinking, that they've outgrown the need for the simplicity of the gospel. So the word of God no longer carries the place of prominence that it ought to carry when it loses emphasis and becomes an option within one's life. The truth of the matter is that they've rejected it. They've turned their back upon that which God had given them. And let me tell you what, the enemy of the gospel is constantly creating substitutes. The enemy of the gospel, this is the devil's work. He is always coming up or devising substitutes. His intent, and in this day and hour, I'm going to give you some examples, is to expand those options so that you have more options today than you ever had before. They talk about knowledge shall increase. You have more options. More options. Now I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to really hone in on the options, you see, when things become optional. When it becomes optional, then what happens, my responsibility is to expose you to the enemy's ploy. Now, just the other day, you probably heard about Facebook. And the name was changed to Meta, and I'm just giving you, and I believe this is just an example or a forewarning of the times and the changes that are occurring right before our very eyes. as we look at metta, I begin to just look at some of the words where you talk about metta. I begin to look into that and say, what is it really talking about? But you know, we talk about Facebook. It is really working towards meta world. I would say a world of intelligence, artificial intelligence, meta world. You probably, I don't know if you heard of this, but there is something that's called meta meditations. It is higher coherence. You've reached a place where you're more coherent than others because you have reached this level of meta coherence. Your metaphysics is beyond physics. Metaphors, you see. You see, discovery of that which extends beyond conventional thinking. That's what it's really saying. You are expanding beyond conventional thinking, and your mind is being expanded. Now, let me just go back and reference something in the scripture. We talk about the expansion of the mind, the expansion of, and we talk about artificial intelligence and the like. It's no different than what we saw even in the scripture when the serpent said to Eve, if you eat of the forbidden fruit, if you eat of the forbidden fruit, you will know as God knows. You won't die. Because he is saying that the Lord was saying the knowledge that you are attaining, the meta knowledge that you're attaining is deadly. He said it is destructive. The level of knowledge that you're seeking after apart from me is deadly. Why would God even say don't eat of something that he created that was good? Because everything God made was good. Why would God say don't eat of this one, because this is the test of your loyalty and your love for him? If you love me, only one prohibition. It wasn't a plethora of prohibitions. Eventually, it became that. It became that as a result of all the violations that followed that violation in the garden. Now he says, now you got to watch how you handle your affairs. Let's see what you eat. Let's look at your dietary law. All of these things followed the one prohibition. There's only one prohibition. Don't eat of that which is exclusively mine. And he says, I'm holding this in reserve for myself. But the day you eat of it, the consequences is that you, through your independent thinking, will surely die. You'll die as a result of separating yourself from me. You die as a result of detaching yourself from the source of life. He said, that's why you'll die. So now we begin to look at the forbidden, and that became the temptation. I begin to look deeper into this whole thing of Facebook. And it opened in 203 as Face Mash. I'm reading now out of some of the references. It talked about Mark Zuckerberg wrote software for Face Mash, and he was with the second year of college, and he was really intoxicated with some of his friends, and they were really trying to down some females. Compare two females' pictures side by side to decide which was more attractive. Then he went as far as begin to look at animals and put a picture of an animal next to the picture of the woman to see how close she looked like one of the animals. So they started what's called Face Mash, and then they started Face Smash because they began to reject certain individuals to defriend them or to see individuals as being dispensable. I'm not going to go very deep into that because some of you could probably do more research in this than I have already done. But I'm just showing you this is the origin of it. It began there. But then now today with the change from Facebook, Face Mash to Facebook now to Meta, we're talking about the universe from the universe to the metaverse. From the universe to the metaverse. We talk about the metaverse. It is speaking of a virtual world, a virtual existence. No need. And then in that virtual existence, what it does, it minimizes the need for personal contact. Now we're getting there. It minimizes the need for personal contact. So now there's an option. You don't have to be around people any longer. But you can be with whoever you want to be with virtually. You don't have to travel any further, but you can go anywhere in the world or outside of the world virtually. All you have to do is put on these goggles, and we will show you the worlds, anything that you want to see or visualize or even fantasize over. You can experience it now through Meta. Do you see what's happening here? Through Meta. So as a result of that, people lose their significance and value. You could be in a house, and one person can have their handheld device, and the other person sitting right next to you. You don't have to talk to him. All you have to do is text one another. And you're texting between each other. They never hear your voice. All they receive is your text. And you probably saw the commercial when the television, they were sending this message over over one of the instruments. And what happened, it got fuzzy at the end. And he said, and showing the baby, and he said, well, you're never satisfied with anything. But what happens, a lot is lost in translation when we're not personally engaged. When we're not personally engaged, a lot is lost in, because you're not looking at the inflections. And now there is the technology to even work towards altering inflections so that now you can actually cause a person to speak and act and talk and all of that without them actually ever being there. This is artificial now. This is artificial world, artificial intelligence. You see, the enemy is a god of artificiality. And everything that he offers is really a replacement of the authentic. But yet we are living in a day where the artificial has become more attractive than the real, replacing the true and living God. Am I saying not to use technology? I'm not saying that. But I'm telling you to beware as to what the enemy is up to with all the things that are being introduced to replace that which God had, in fact, put in place. So we look at artificial meta, that's meta meditations. Okay? We mentioned a higher level of coherence, because now they're saying you can reach euphoria. There's a way to get there without this God, but it's really opening your heart and your lives up to other gods. I'm at a place now where I'm very leery, more so, I would say, since we've been in this time of distancing, I'm very leery of a lot of things that I used to be impressed by and impressed with that's in the realm of the supernatural. I'm very leery of a lot. I'm not saying that God doesn't still. He does. He does supernatural things. But you got to watch a lot of these supernatural occurrences and be very careful that you're not being dissuaded by them. And how, because the enemy will come with these miracles, signs, and wonders that are counterfeit in order to draw the people away. And it is really to draw attention to the person and not to give glory and honor to God. So now, with all of these things that are happening in our day, in our world, particularly that we begin to see where the needle is moving more towards this whole thing of artificial than ever before. Artificial, where you don't need the real. That is more, I would say, is more in vogue with where the people are and what people are thinking and the things that people feel more comfortable in doing. That God would not judge that somewhere down the line. When it gets to a particular place where people, we begin to see the influence of those things becoming so strong and so many people gravitating in that particular direction, look what happened historically. The Lord said, he said, look at man now. Now he has reached this point where he is saying, let us build a temple, let's build a tower that will reach all the way up to the heavens. He said, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered among the nations. We want to be at a place where we're making a name for ourselves. We are building our reputation through our all of our technology. We're building a reputation as a result of all of our scientific discoveries. He says, so much so that we will have made a name for ourselves, and we will always be remembered as being the people that did great things. But the Lord said, let us come down. Now, that's dangerous. He says, we see the tripartite God. He said, let us come down, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us come down and let us confuse their language. Let us confuse their language, lest nothing will be impossible unto them. Now, what he was really saying when he said, let us come down, let us confuse their language. And in this, we begin to see signs of it in the realm, not of the physical realm, not in the visible realm, but we begin to see spiritually where there's a loss of the ability to relate to one another. I'm talking about people aren't relating to each other the way they ought to relate to each other. We begin to see where the signs, this is why ministry is so important, because you're going to, why don't you understand me? Particularly those who represent God. But you'll find a people who are the most misunderstood are those that stand for the things of God. And he said, look, I'm saying this, but you're not hearing me. You're not hearing me. Here's what I'm saying to the congregation. I'm saying, I want you to hear more than just what I'm saying. I want you to hear more than just the words that I'm speaking. I want you to have hearts that's open to hear with your hearts what God is saying, because if all you can do is give me back what I said to you, you've not really heard what I've said. But when you begin to take what you have received as seed, and that seed begins to germinate within your heart, and then you're postured to give expression to what you have received as seed, and now we begin to see that seed becoming widespread and lives are being impacted as a result of the word spoken, then I can say you paid attention to what is in fact being said. You don't just give back. The servant did when he buried the talent. And he said, I know that you were cruel and you were unfair in your measure. He said, so what I did, I took what you gave me and I buried it so I could at least give you back what you gave me. The Lord said, no, it was to be, you were to be enterprising. You were to use what you had received. And you are the ones that ought to bring increase as a result of the seed that had been sown within your hearts. So now, look at the confusion of language. It is the misunderstanding of the message. I heard what you said, but I really didn't hear what you said. That would be the attitude. I heard your words, but I didn't hear your heart. So therefore, what I will do, I will take issue with the words that you're speaking. Confuse their language, loss of the ability to relate. Then you have a divided people, you'll have a divided church, you'll have a divided family. All those things are divided, and you become at a place, as Paul, he says, only I, you see, he talked about only these are the ones that are there to labor with me. Only a few. Demas has forsaken, and he named all the others that begin to go in other ways. You see what happens? People begin to move because they had love for something other than that which God was presenting, and they move in a different direction. So now let's go back what God did, what God will do. He interrupts their plans. He interrupts their plans. Whatever their plans, let us come down, confine the language, and let's look at the measure. Let's look at the pattern of that. God interrupts their plans. That's a judgment. When God stops you from doing what you had set out to do, that is a judgment, but it's a temporary judgment for your good. God would let you, he would let you become successful in the thing that you set out to do. A lot of people are wondering, why aren't things working for me as I'd like for them to work for me? But that's God. That's God's doing. Because you're not doing what God told you to do. It's not working, it's supposed to work. God has blown on it. God will not let it prosper until you come back to him. That's what God is saying. You got to come back to me. I had a plan for you. I have a plan for your life. And you're trying to make your own plans. You're trying to go in your own direction. He said, that wasn't my plan for you. So he interrupts your plan. He disturbs your peace because he's a prince of peace. But you will not find peace until, first of all, you have peace with him. And then when you have peace with him, then you can carry out the assignments given. See, now when he says, let us reason together, he condescends to our level. That's what the Lord is saying. Come now, let us reason together. He condescends to man's level while lifting his rationale up to a high level. He says, I'm going to help you to arrive at a high level of thinking. They talk about meta. Let me show you what meta really is. It's when you have the mind of Christ. He said, I'll lift your thinking up to a high level of thinking so that come, let me help you think through whatever you may be going through. Whatever you may be going through, there's a reason. Let us reason together. There's a reason for things being the way they are. There's a reason for your failure. There's a reason for things to be falling apart. He said, but let me help you reason. He said, come now. Let us think together through whatever you may be going through. Because out of your fallen nature, you've lost the sense of direction. Because you now have now, when it applies to godliness, you've become very irrational in the way that you think. Now, let's look at the scripture here. I'm giving you several scriptures because I want you to really see this. This is what the Lord is saying in Isaiah. Familiar passage, Isaiah 55 and verse 6. It says to you, and he's speaking to us, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Go after him. When? While he may be found. While he may be found. Seek the Lord while he may be found. What is that saying to us? There will come a time when you can't find him. You won't have an interest. You won't have a heart to seek after him. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked man forsake his way. Listen to this. He calls that wickedness. Your thoughts, your plans, your ideas. The Lord calls it all wickedness. He said, let the wicked forsake his way and let the unrighteous man his thoughts. He calls it wickedness and unrighteousness. He said, and let him return to the Lord. Wait a minute, return to the Lord. He said, there's a place that you abandoned. There's a place that you abandoned, and the Lord is calling you back to your original state. I want you to come back to the place when you were first awakened to the reality of Christ. You can't find him if you continue to move in that direction. He's not there. It may be in vogue, it may be modern, it may be something that, but it's keeping up in step with what's going on today, but that's not where the Lord is. He said, I want you to forsake your way and unrighteous thoughts. Let's return to the Lord. And the Lord says, I'll have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Why? He said, because look at Meta. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts. But yet, let us reason together. My thoughts are not your thoughts, but let us reason together. The way I think is not the way you think, but I'm willing and ready to condescend to your level so we can have a conversation. I want to hear your heart. When you pray, you can express your heart to God. This is what I'm thinking, Lord. Right now, Lord, I don't understand what's going on. I don't know why things are happening where they're happening. Lord says, I'm listening. God is not turned off with your complaints. He said, I'm listening to everything you say. I don't see why it's even necessary. God said, I'm listening. He said, now allow me the opportunity to speak. When you finish, allow me the opportunity to speak. And what the Spirit does, he takes whatever we have said and he makes intercession through Jesus Christ. He said, now, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your way. For as high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. But I also know my thoughts. I know my thoughts. You don't have to put an idea into my mind. When I say let's reason together, I want to put some ideas into your mind. I want to give you some things to give consideration to. You see, we often want to tell God, Lord, have you thought about this? Lord, have you thought about the way these people are treating me? Did you see what they were doing? Who are you talking to? You're talking to God. God, that's all that. And he says, and none of that will be a deterrent to what I am willing to do in you, for you, and through you. That's not going to stop me because of what they did. But watch me now. Use that to your advantage. I'll use all that to your advantage. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, but I use everything for your good. It'll work together for your good. And then he says, my thoughts, this is what I think of you. Jeremiah 29, I love this scripture, but I'm starting this time in the 10th verse. He says, for thus says the Lord, and he began to say, after 70 years of suffering, after 70 years of going through, after 70 years of being a slave, being in bondage, after it's completed, Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you. When, Lord, after 70 years, I will perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. He said, why? Because I know my thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. They are of peace and not of evil. Why? It's going to take 70 years. It's going to take 70 years to get all that stinking thinking out of you. After 70 years, he said, it'll be a peace, not of evil, he said, because after the 70 years, you will experience the future that I had planned for you and I will give you hope. Then you will call upon me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me. The only way you're going to seek, you're going to find me is when your whole heart is engaged, when you seek for me or search for me with all of your hearts. Thoughts of peace, peaceful living, peace in the midst of the storm within your soul. That's what the Lord offers. The absence of thought, as it is with the absence of light, produces evil. In other words, just like I said before, when what is evil, it is the absence of good. When what is darkness, the absence of light. So we have the absence of thought. We begin to see thoughtless deeds occurring. Reason they're occurring is because you're not taking into account the consequences of whatever you have purpose to do. You don't know what the consequences are, you see. Because, let me tell you, there are consequences. Whatever you do, there are consequences. There are consequences. But you can't see that. I know my thoughts. I know what the consequences are. You choose this, this is the outcome. You choose that way, that's the outcome. This path leads to this. That path leads to that. God already sees the end from the beginning. And he says, so now your thinking and your decisions will lead to consequences. So you learn to trust God with your future. You learn to trust God with your future. You don't just start there. You learn to trust him with your future and not to lean to your own understanding. And then he brings you to his expected end, that which God had in mind from the beginning. So the absence of God in your planning, his absence in your everyday life, in your activities, you see, will always lead to disaster. So you have to acknowledge him in all your ways, and the Lord will direct your path. His absence in judgment against you. His absence is judgment against you. When God withdraws himself, that becomes a judgment in and of itself. When the Lord is no longer present in the midst of whatever you may be engaged in, that's the judgment. He will then allow your life to fall apart by just withdrawing himself from your interests. See, man's original plan for man was good, and he hadn't changed his mind. I wish we'll deal with the rest of this on Wednesday night, but we have to look at how he made you. He made you in such a way. The original, before the fall, you had the strength and the nature to obey God's law. In other words, you loved God's law. We mentioned there's only one law, but you had the strength and the nature to love God and to obey his will, his word. But then, when the prohibition was violated and the fall occurred, then the nature of man became the nature of the serpent. But God restoring us back to the place where we will love what God loves and hate what God hates. We'll love God's law. We'll love God's directions, his directives. And we'll say, Lord, even when you tell me no, I know you're telling me no for my own good. I'm closing. I'm done. But that's what God is doing. So watch these things that's happening around you. Don't just look at them as the world will see them as being advancements. There may be the advancements in technology. There could be the advancements in entertainment, advancements in all these other areas. But the greatest advancement that we need to pay attention to is the advancements that must occur within our own souls. Spiritual progress. Spiritual progress. That's the most important thing. How can we grow? How can we grow? Does this add to your growth, or does this add to your vanity? Does this add to your ego? Does it add to you? If it's taking place in that direction, you're moving in the wrong direction. And we talk about the technology, but now listen to what is being said in many places that feed into the same situation. Messages that appeal to vanity and ego and pride, those kinds of things. It is really the mystery of iniquity. I'll talk about that later on. The mystery of iniquity, how the circuitry, the inner workings of the enemy, how he begins to give you various paths that lead to destruction. And it could be from the church, it could be from technology, it could be from education, it could be wherever it may come from. It's leading to the same end. It leads to death. But the Lord has come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. So, Father, thank you so much for your word this day. And the seed that was planted is a seed that is to be cultivated as we meditate upon what you have spoken to us this day. Thank you, Lord, that you're showing us what is good. You're showing us what is best for us. Even though oftentimes it is an eye-opener to us because we might have thought it should come a different way. But Lord, may we judge ourselves and may we look at our own lives so that we are not succumbing to the precious that's being brought to bear against us by the world, the flesh, and the devil. But Lord, may we be a people that will swim against the tide, against the stream, so that we are fighting that good fight of faith against whatever the enemy is trying to get us to surrender to. Lord, we thank you as we were singing early on. Yes, we already have victory because Christ has already given us the victory over those things that have come in this generation. So we celebrate our victory and we thank you for all that you're going to do in our lives. As we continue to stand, take a stand, and to stand. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God.